John chapter 15, and beginning to read at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. We are no doubt very familiar with this passage, and we are familiar with the basic truths that we are to abide in the Lord Jesus if we're to have that spiritual life of him flowing through us, and meeting the needs of others if we're to bear fruit. We have to be abiding in the Lord Jesus. But very often as we read this passage and some of the songs we sing, we think about Jesus being the vine and about us being the branches. But something we sometimes miss, perhaps, is the key word in verse 1, where Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, I want to speak this morning on abiding in the truth and abiding in the vine who is the truth. Because the heart of our being able to bear fruit is that we don't just abide in Jesus and in a concept of Jesus that we may have in our own minds, but we abide in Jesus who is the truth. The very the truth of the character of Jesus, the whole concept of who Jesus really is. Because that is the way in which we bear fruit. Because we may look at our lives or our church and say, well, we're seeking to abide in Jesus, we're seeking to be connected to Jesus, but somehow there is a lack of fruit. And as we look at the church nationally, we see, well, it's worshipping Jesus and so forth, but there seems to be a lack of general fruit. Well, the heart of the message that the Lord's given me for this morning is the fact that the vine is the truth. And in order for us to be abiding in Jesus, we have to be abiding in the truth. Now, when we are seeking to come close to Jesus, as we're seeking to abide in Jesus, we can have all sorts of ideas as to who Jesus is. It says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 23 that people created a God in their own image. And just as God created us in his own image, it is the natural attitude of each one of us to create God in our own image. And so one person is very enthusiastic or very positive and very even over the top. And that is the kind of God that they create for themselves. And someone else is very low-spirited or quiet or somber or whatever they are. And that is what God is like to them. And someone else is very legalistic, and that is what God is like to them. Whatever our natural character is, it is our natural tendency to make God to be as we are. And so if we are to abide in Jesus, if we are to abide really in Jesus, we have to abide in who, in his character, in who he really is, and not in the God that we have created in our own image. And as it is the tremendous desire of God that we should bear fruit, we suddenly see how tremendously important it is that we abide in the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as it starts off and it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman, Jesus is saying, I am the fullest revelation of the truth that you can ever get. I am the truth. In just earlier in this discourse, in chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way and I am the truth. And so it is Jesus himself who is the truth. And as we look at the character of Jesus as revealed in Scripture, as we read through the Gospels and see how Jesus lived and his whole attitude towards people, he's saying that is the truth. And the more that we can lay hold upon the character of Jesus and be like him and live like him and have his compassion for the lost, there, that is the place where we are abiding in the truth. And sometimes we think that the truth is about the doctrine, that we, doctrines that we've learnt, we learn our truths, we study the word and we learn Bible truths. But actually truth, as we've said, is a person. And truth is all bound up in the person, in the character of the Lord Jesus himself. And in Jesus we see, as it were, the fullest revelation of the Godhead. And as you read through the Old Testament, you see the fullest revelation of the Godhead as you see the revelation of Jesus himself. And as you read through the Old Testament, you might be led into some kind of, as it were, legalistic understanding of God. But as it says in the first chapter of Hebrews, that in these last days God has spoken by his Son, through his Son. And it's in Jesus himself that we see the whole of the character of God and the whole of this that is the truth. And if we are to come into a place where we're bearing fruit, we have to be a people who see Jesus as he really is. And not to see Jesus as a Jesus that we've created. And also it speaks in the New Testament about those who preach another Jesus. They've created another Jesus. He's a Jesus according to their own desires. Maybe a Jesus who compromises on sin. Or to someone else, a Jesus who is legalistic. But as we get hold of the fullness of the character of Jesus in his reality, then we will have something to give to the lost. And as we see that the fruit comes from the ones that are abiding in the vine, in the true vine, then we see that that is how the lost come to salvation. That's how we come to the place where we are fruitful and mighty in good works. But now, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And that means the farmer or the vine dresser. And then he says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And in the Greek where it says he taketh away, it's also translated he lifts up. And you have the vine and the branch is hanging down and it's not bearing fruit because it's hanging down. And the idea is that you lift up the branch from being in a place where it's sagging and drooping. You lift it up and you maybe tie it up. And this is something that apparently vine dressers do. And as a result, that will then bear fruit. And sometimes, as Christians, we are in a place where we are too discouraged to bear fruit. Things maybe in our lives have gone in such a way, maybe we've been hit with a number of things that discourage us. And as a result, we are simply discouraged. And even maybe not that much is going wrong in our lives. And we can still be in a place where we are discouraged. And so God, who is the perfect farmer, the perfect vine dresser, sees the exact thing that we need. He sees our drooping soul, as it were, our place of discouragement, and he has just the answer, he has just the thing to do for us in that position of need. And he gets us, and it's his work just to give us that little lift. Bring us up, lift us up, and in a sense, that is bringing us back into the truth. Because that place of discouragement that we were in is very often not based upon truth. It's based upon perhaps a natural tendency to depression. It's based upon even circumstances as they appear to us, and not based upon the truth. And the truth is that God is in control, that God is just, that God is faithful. And sometimes just when we're in that place of discouragement, God says, you just need encouraging. And as I lift you up, and I draw you up, and as it were, bring you into a place where you are feeling brighter and more encouraged, I'm bringing you into the truth. And the truth was not the place of discouragement. The truth is where you can rejoice in me and say, yes, God is faithful. God is alive. God is working in my life. And so that is something of what it means there to bring us into the truth. And then it says that every branch that bears fruit, he purges or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so just as you have one who needs a bit of encouragement, so you have someone else who needs a bit of pruning. And the problem is that with each one of us, especially as we start to feel strong, we were thinking last Sunday evening about Uzziah, and he came to a place where he felt that he was strong because he was successful, and then he started doing things that he was not meant to do. And he needed pruning, and God gave him that leprosy, which was a pruning. And there are things in our lives as we stray out of the truth and maybe are proud and doing things that we shouldn't be doing, that God comes in and he has to prune us. And that pruning is very painful when it comes. But it's merely an indication that we have strayed out of that closeness to the Lord. When we first became a Christian, it's like that branch sprouting out of the vine, and when we were first Christians, we were very close to the Lord, and we didn't know anything, and we didn't step very far away because we thought, well, I know nothing, and I have to stay so close now. Lord, is this right? Is that right? But sometimes as we go on in the Christian life, we get a little bit of pride, and we start to grow, and there's so much more of us in relation to God. And in those places, God has to come in with that pruning knife and say, well, there are all these things that you've allowed into your life that are never meant to be there. And as a result, you're bearing less and less fruit. Yes, you've borne some fruit. There's been some strength. You've borne some fruit. But now you're ceasing to be useful because of all these things that you've allowed to be in your life. So the Father has to come as the vine dresser, with the knife, the pruning knife, and he has to cut off all this that is unfruitful in our lives. Now, when we are in this position where we are coming under the pruning, well, very often we can become discouraged, or we can say this isn't the Lord, or why is everything going wrong in our lives? But what the Lord wants us to do is to be open and ready to admit, yes, there are things wrong in me. I need this pruning, and that God, who is faithful and just, he is pruning me for a good purpose. Now, it speaks in Hebrews and chapter 12 about the chastisement of the Lord, and it says in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth, whips every son whom he receiveth. But skipping down a few verses, it says we need to respond positively to what the Lord is doing. It says, verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And what it's saying is, when the chastening of the Lord comes into our lives, that's the time when we need to respond to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you doing in my life? Enable me to respond. Enable me to get right with you. Whatever needs pruning out of my life, Lord, I present myself before you. And I say, prune me and bring me to the place where I am fruitful in you. Because as we've seen in chapter 15, It says, verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." So as we live our lives on earth, this is the great desire of God in our lives, that we should be fruitful. That we should be fruitful, not just that we should be happy and have a nice time, but that we should bear fruit, that there should be a usefulness about our lives. And unless, as it were, we allow God to come into our lives and do that faithful work in pruning, we cannot be fruitful. Now, very often, God comes in to prune, and we resist it. And the Bible says, resist the devil, and the devil comes in temptation, but the Lord comes in pruning. And when this pruning comes, it's so essential that we allow God to do it in our lives, to bring us through to a place where we are fruitful, and not be a people who say that this is just the devil and this is not God. Now, I just want to reiterate this aspect of how God comes and prunes. And as God prunes, he uses the devil in terms of chastisement, but it is God behind it doing the work. And we really need to get hold of this truth. And I want to, as it were, prove it from the Bible, from 2 Samuel 24 and verse 1. You don't need to listen to turn necessarily if you can listen. This is about David numbering his troops. It says, verse 1, "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah." So in that verse, who is it that is moving David to go and number them? Well, we've said it's the Lord. The Lord moved David. But then if you turn to 1 Chronicles in chapter 21, talking about exactly the same episode, it says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." So you see, in one it says God moved David, and the other it says Satan provoked David. Now, in that place where David had come to a position of pride and, as it were, strength in himself, when it was all about him, and he was seeing the strength of his own army and his own personal power, God had to come in and God had to prune David and prune the people. It was anger with the people that God caused God to move David. And so David chooses a plague to fall upon the people, and many die. And that was a tremendous pruning in the life of Israel. And as a result, David grasped something, and he realized that to number his troops was to look at his own power, and was to trust in his own strength rather than to trust in God. And in the position of his pride and his personal belief in his own strength, God had to come and God had to prune. And God looked at this is the key thing, God looked at the heart of David, and he looked at the heart of the people, and he saw the pride and he saw the wrong attitudes, and God responded in a way that was appropriate to David and his heart and the people and their heart. And we may be on the outside and not doing anything wrong, but God is seeing the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. And just as sometimes God looks into our hearts and sees the discouragement that we have and says, that's the person who needs lifting up. So sometimes God looks into our heart and says, there's a person who's full of pride in their heart and is maybe not noticeable on the outside, but I can see it, and I've got to come and step into their life, and I've got to prune them in order to bring them into the truth. And so this is the desire. God has to bring us into the position of truth in order for us to be fruitful. And that person who is full of pride and self-sufficient and strong in themselves, thinking they can do everything, not seeing their need properly for God, they are the person that God says, I must prune. I've got to bring them into a place of fruitfulness for their sake, and that they might bring forth fruit. Now, if that person responds to what the Lord is doing, they will come into a position of fruitfulness. But the person who continually resists it and says, oh, why is all this happening to me? And saying, this is just an attack of the devil and I'm going to resist it. They will never come into that place where they are bearing much fruit or bearing more fruit, as the word says. And just as you have this branch in the vine, and it has grown, and there's so much of that branch, and as you look, all you can see is branch, and it ceases to bring forth fruit. So God says that's useless. There's lots of the branch, but no fruit, or very little fruit. And so I've got to come in and deal with that. And though it may seem hard at the time, though it may seem, as it were, ruthless, and the Lord come and chopping and cutting and removing so much of us, yet if we respond, we will, as it said in that passage in Hebrews, it speaks about afterwards having the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You have the peaceable fruit, the fruit of righteousness, if we are exercised thereby. And that means those who respond and say, yes, there is this is something good, this is something positive, this is for my benefit, and I'm exercised by it. I'm exercised by what God is doing in my life, and I'm going to respond. And verse 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so we see that the result of this is that God is glorified in our lives. God is glorified by the fact that he comes in and he cuts off all that useless part of the branch. He is glorified as we come into the place where we are bearing much fruit. He says, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And speaking about cleanliness, that's again speaking about the pruning, where it says in the verse before, he purgeth, it can be translated pruneth. And so here when it says, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, you are clean because my word has pruned you. And it's so important that we respond to the pruning of the Lord. And if you look at the way that the Lord Jesus dealt with the disciples and how he would prune them with his words, he would speak into them and he would speak, as we might say, sharply or very clearly to them. And his words were there to prune them. Remember, just earlier in this whole episode, really, when Peter says, verse 36 of chapter 13, Jesus says, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Peter is in a position where he is so full of himself, and he thinks he can do it all in his own strength, and there's a pride there. His as it were, ambition is noble in a sense, but it's him. It's all Peter. Now Jesus says, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Jesus was pruning him with his words. He was saying something very difficult into his life, but he was pruning him in order to bring him into a place that he might bear forth fruit. And yes, in the things that happened in Peter's life, he had further pruning. And at the end of John's gospel, when Jesus again speaks to him and asks him three times if he loves him, Jesus again is pruning Peter with his words. And at the end of this, Peter still hasn't got it properly. And Peter, looking at John, says, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus again says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And Jesus is pruning Peter again and again. And we see how, we might say, tough Jesus is with Peter. Over and over again, he seems to say these things, Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't speak the things that are of God. And he is so tough with Peter, but he's tough with Peter because he loves him and he wants to bring him into a place where he is fruitful. And this is his great desire as he's watching Peter's life and he's working in his life. He is bringing him into a place where he is fruitful. And then you get into the book of Acts and you see the fruitfulness of Peter's life. How right from the start on the day of Pentecost, this mighty work of 3,000 souls being saved. And this is the real question for us. Are we so desirous that we should be fruitful in the kingdom of God that we are willing to allow God to prune us? Are we willing at that time of pruning to say, yes, Lord, you are being faithful. You are in this. It's a hard time. It's a difficult time. It's an uncomfortable time for me. But Lord, you're doing something. You are pruning me. And as a result of this, you are going to make me fruitful. And it's not going to be me. If none of the glory is going to be me because you've cut, as it were, all that's me away. And all the glory is going to go to you. I wonder, are we a people who are willing to respond to the Lord and say, yes, I want to be fruitful. I want to serve you. And I'm going to respond to you. It speaks about in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this is the heart of laying ourselves before the Lord and saying, Lord, I am yours. You have bought me at a price. I'm not my own. I've got to honor you with all that I am, with my body, with my life, with everything I have. And if that includes your pruning, as the faithful farmer, as the faithful husbandman or vine dresser, that's exactly what I'm going to allow you to do. And I'm not going to say I'm my own. I'm not going to say that this is my life to do with as I please. But I'm going to present my body. I'm going to present all that I am before you, O God, as a living sacrifice and say, use me. Use all that I am, all that I have for your glory, that it might bring honor to your name. And so this is really what Jesus is saying about the truth of the Christian life. This is what it means to abide in the true vine. So he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And this is the truth that God has got to bring us to, where we understand this truth. And maybe we've heard this truth again and again, and we understand it in a theoretical way. But it's the pruning that brings us into the place where we are living it, where we say, really, I cannot do it in my own strength. Really, I can't. And every time you are facing a difficulty coming into your life, God is trying to bring you back to this place. He's trying to bring me back to this place where we say, I really cannot do it in my own strength. And we see difficulties come into our lives, and you know, trouble comes to man as the sparks fly upwards. And all of us, you know, we're facing troubles all the time, difficulties of one sort or another. It seems we can barely turn right or left, but something seems just to come into our lives to discourage us or whatever, to trouble us. And the heart of it is this: every time that happens, God is just saying, without me you can do nothing. You've got to abide. It's got to be all me. And that is just meant to be a reminder that we've got to yield and allow God to do everything in us. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And here's the great encouragement that we have as we read this passage, that God can bring forth much fruit from us. And sometimes sometimes we say, you know, we're living in a day of small things and not much is going on in the Christian world, it seems, particularly in this country. It seems quite discouraging at times. But here the Lord is saying, you can bring forth much fruit. And the only thing that's necessary for us to do that is to abide in the vine and allow the husbandman, allow the farmer to come in and prune us. And this is the great encouragement, that God is ready and willing to do great things through us as individuals, as an assembly. We only have to respond and allow God to do it, and this will happen. Allow him to flow through us. Allow his life to flow through us. And allow him to prune us. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. That's someone who is not at all attached to the Lord. And there's simply no life. And that is someone who's reached the extreme. We are perhaps just outgrowing ourselves at times, but that is someone who has no connection with the Lord. And as we see that the person who has no connection with the Lord, they have no life in them and they have to be burnt up. But that's just an extreme case of someone who is not abiding in the Lord. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. I wonder, are we willing to respond just to the words of the Lord today? As he says that he is the true vine, his Father is the husbandman. And if we're in that position, we can bear much fruit. In prayer, ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the people of God who want to be faithful to our Master, who want to see great things done in our day, and we have a desire for the moving of the Spirit, we have a desire to see fruit. I wonder this morning, are we willing just to submit to the Lord and say, Lord, when you're working in my life, when you're doing these things, I'm going to respond to you. Have your own way in me, Lord. Have your own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. And so it says that as a result of this, the Father will truly be glorified. I wonder this morning, will we respond to God and allow him to bear much fruit through us? Amen.
In response to that, let's sing 541, I Need Thee Every Hour. And as we sing this, and we make it that prayer to the Lord, let's consider that we're crying out for the Lord and saying that we need him in every aspect of his character. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. And in verse 4 it says, I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. And then I need thee every hour, most holy one, O make me thine indeed,
Amen.
Thou blessed Son. We're crying out to the Lord that he would be the Lord to us in every aspect of his character and of his nature and all that he is. So let's sing 541.